Oh, hey, it's me. So you are getting this episode a little bit earlier than it was supposed to be coming out. Why? Why? Because there has been a huge uptick in fans going to wrestling shows that happen to be males that have been harassing the women wrestlers, that have been harassing female fans. And, you know, we recorded this conversation a little while ago, and it was going to come out a little bit later, but right now it's really a great time, especially following up with the conversation we had last week with Lo, and, you know, seeing the women of AEW being harassed literally as they are trying to work. So let's dig into this conversation. Buckle up, because hopefully you learned something from this. Tips, tricks, ways to be better, ways to be an ally transitioning to an accomplice, all of the above, baby. So here we go. Listen to this conversation with Cher Delaware and I. This conversation is going to be so fun, and I do truly hope that people walk away from this with, honestly, being a better person and having more understanding. And so this is going to be good. It's one of my favorite humans. We talk almost every day, and you'll figure out how we met. So my first question for everyone is, who are you?
So that's a funny question, because you know me, you know who I am, but I don't really share who I am online, because kind of why we're here today.
Yeah.
Because of the way that people act. But I would say, as you know, first and foremost, I'm a parent. And that's, as we always talking about, kids are wild. Like, being a parent is an experience. And pretty much everything in my life revolves around being a parent. So that's part of the reason that I don't go by my name online as Cher Delaware, because of being a parent and because of protecting that. But being a parent and just, I guess, being a wrestling fan is what most people know me as.
Sadly. We'll talk more about that, parents and all the things. How did we meet?
So I was thinking about this last night at like 2 o'clock in the morning, laying in bed, unable
not
to
sleeping.
Sleep. Because I don't sleep. And I'm like, I think we met through Joel on Twitter.
Oh, okay.
And like, I know it was on Twitter. We obviously know that, but I think that it was through Joel on there. And I was like, I just remember we were just following each other and we started talking to each other. And then we met in person at karaoke in Vegas.
That was a fun karaoke.
Yes.
That was a time.
We've been to karaoke twice together now. So
it's true. It's true. And I
think karaoke. That was a really fun karaoke. Neither of us sing. We just go to karaoke.
It takes a lot to get me, because I'm like, I don't want to hear people that can't sing. So.
Oh, yeah. The one in Chicago was not near as fun as the one in Vegas. But yeah, we met at karaoke in Vegas, and now we've been to wrestling shows together. We've done all kinds of things together now, living in California and Illinois apart from each other.
See, it works, y'all. The internet works. What does trauma mean to you?
Oh gosh. I think that for me, we've had discussions before about the things that both of us have been through in our lives. And I have different things that I classify as, I would almost say, different levels of traumatic experience in my life. You know, like, I was kidnapped when I was 6. So that, it honestly doesn't affect me as much now, because I was so young and I don't remember a lot of it. And it's more like, it almost plays like a movie in my head if I think about it. And it's like, was I really there? Am I just watching this happen to someone else when I was obviously there? It very much happened to me. But I'm getting ready to be 31 now. So it's been 25 years since it happened. And so that one doesn't affect me as much in my daily life, except for in my parenting. I'm very overprotective in my parenting and I don't trust people with my kids. But that might have just been because of the way the world is too. You know, like, that's, a lot of people are that way.
Yeah.
But then trauma, from past relationships and abuse and things like that, that is something that I carry with me a lot now. And I think that the trauma shapes who I am as a person. Mm. It is the way that I react to things, the way that I carry myself, and me choosing to be around or not to be around people, for sure.
Mm. And we chose wrestling. So let's start there. When did you find wrestling?
So I have an older brother who is 10 years older than me. He's my only brother. And he was obsessed with wrestling. My family was from North Carolina, so they were in WCW territory. And my dad would take him and our cousin, who is his age, to wrestling shows when they were little. My dad hates wrestling. Like, my mom would set it up and he would have to take them to shows. And he would be so mad. Like, how did I get volunteered into this? Which is probably why I didn't go to a show until I was 24, 25, because there was no way my parents were going to take me. But I started watching. The first time I remember watching, I was like 3 or 4. And my brother would always watch WCW. So I didn't really know WWE, WWF at the time until like 2000-ish, because that just wasn't what we watched. We watched WCW. So I was a Sting fan.
Same.
We bond over Sting. For some reason, I was really obsessed with DDP and Big Papa Pump. Like,
same. I'm a Buff Bagwell girl.
Yes.
Like, just watched that documentary the other day.
Yes. Like, those were my people. And so getting to see Sting again, like, as an adult, I posted the meet and greet. I was never going to do a meet and greet and paid to meet Sting like 5 years ago. Because I was like, it's Sting. How do I not meet Sting? Like, so yeah, I think that I was probably like 3 or 4 at the time. And my brother was into like NWO. Like, that was kind of more his thing. And then he still kind of keeps up with it now at 40. So we still talk about wrestling a little bit now.
I love that. I love that you had someone. I was the child that found it by herself. And everyone was like, what's happening? Where did we go left?
And how do you find it by yourself?
Like, I had cable in my room.
That's fair.
As being a wrestling fan, I think that people assume that wrestling fans all look one way. And they don't look like us. And so this is where we start to really, really kind of dive into this conversation about being like a wrestling fan. And my question for you is, like, what type of pushback have you experienced, like, as you have been, like, more open and understanding as being a woman, as being a female wrestling fan?
I will say, I feel like in maybe the past year, it has gotten a little bit better. But I think that's because there are so many more women as content creators in wrestling now, doing wrestling media and things like that. And I have experienced some stuff being a female wrestling fan, but I'm also a white female wrestling fan. So I know I don't get it as bad as Black female wrestling fans, Hispanic female, like, they get it way worse than I do too. So I'm fully aware of that because I've seen things said to other people, but it's mostly just they think we don't know what we're talking about. It's all, like, it doesn't matter if it's an opinion. It doesn't, we are always wrong. They don't understand why we're watching. And it's so strange because you go to shows now and there's so many women at shows.
Yeah.
But they act like you're the only woman they've ever met that's ever watched wrestling before. And they don't understand why you're there. And it's very strange because I'm into a lot of other sports too. I post about other sports.
You're a sport. I'm
a sports girl. Yeah. And like, there are men in other sports that treat women that way too. Hockey is especially really bad about it, but going to games, it's pretty much the same. You see a lot of women, you see a lot of men, you see kids, but at games, they don't treat me that way. At wrestling events, they still treat women that way at an event. Like, you paid money to be here. Why? You don't even know what you're watching. You don't even know what's going on. And I'm like, why are you so concerned with if someone else knows, if they know the history of wrestling? Who cares? Who cares if they just became a fan last year? Like, I'm not ever trying to like find, you know, my favorite thing is always, well, I've been a fan for 35 years whenever they say anything. And I'm like,
cool.
Yeah. Congratulations. I don't, there's not like a measuring test where you win because you've been a fan for longer. It's very strange to me. And our dear friend, Will Washington, he and I talked about this one time because everyone knows I love Bryan Danielson. And I had posted that he was my greatest wrestler of all time. And I got death threats from people. And like, people were calling me just horrible names and things like, clearly you've never seen a Bret Hart match. And I'm like, I mean, I have.
I too have the internet.
I have seen them, and that's fine if he's your greatest wrestler of all time. I'm saying what my opinion is. I mean, it was insane. I had to go private on Twitter for a while. And at that time, I only had like 5,000 followers. And I had to go private on there. I had people finding my Instagram and messaging me. It was crazy. Will posted the same thing. And there was people like, oh man, I don't really agree. I think that it's Shawn Michaels. I think that it's, you know, and he's like, why is it such a vast difference in coming at a woman so aggressively about it, telling me I was stupid, telling me that I've clearly never watched wrestling before. And I'm like, what? it's just very strange, the aggressiveness that men have towards women in the fandom.
Yeah. What brings you back? Like, why do you like wrestling?
So honestly, probably within the last month, I've really started watching wrestling again, because I kind of stopped for like 6 months because of the way that people treated me online. I stopped posting about wrestling at all. Yeah. I would watch my kids love wrestling. So we would watch the pay-per-views. So we would watch WWE and AEW pay-per-views, kind of like catch up on what was going on a little bit, just so we knew what the matches were going to be, but we weren't watching weekly. And my kids train in wrestling too. So we were having wrestling practice 4 nights a week. There's no way to watch wrestling when you've got wrestling practice 4 nights a week and it's 40 minutes away. So that was just basically our entire night, Monday through Thursday. Sure. But I just had to take a step away because I was like, this thing that I have loved for almost my entire life that I met some of my best friends through, and even my best friend that is local to me, that she was in my wedding, I was in her wedding. We became really good friends because of wrestling. Her mom hated wrestling, and I got her to start watching it when we were like 10. And we had like notebooks.
Recruiter.
We would write down the matches in the notebooks and like have VHS tapes where we recorded stuff and everything. Like, she was big into Randy Orton. I was big John Cena. We had posters of them everywhere. Like, every year she would buy the WrestleMania DVDs and then we would watch them afterwards because we were way too broke to buy the pay-per-views.
Fair.
but like, she still kind of watches. Her husband is a wrestling fan too, so that helps. So she still kind of watches, but it made me not want to watch wrestling. When every time I post something, it's causing people to just be awful to me. I mean, we know there are accounts on Twitter that are dedicated to hating one company or the other and hating specific people. And there were people that were taking my pictures and making accounts to just be awful. And I'm like, because you don't like my wrestling opinions? I'm so confused. I just don't understand. And they would post horrible things to other people, but with my face attached. So it looks like it's me saying these things. And I was just like, I can't do this anymore. I don't have the mental capacity to deal with people who have no life to the point that they are trying to ruin my life. and just say horrible things. And I wasn't enjoying going to shows anymore because of it. I just didn't want to be a part of any of it. I go to a lot of pay-per-views and such. The last pay-per-view that I went to was in September of last year. So it was All Out in Chicago. I have not been to a pay-per-view since then. I've taken my kids to shows, but that was it. I just kind of left everything. And I felt like I needed a break. And it wasn't because the wrestling on TV was bad or anything like that. I was still, like I said, kind of following along with storylines. I knew what was going on. I have friends in each company that would keep me updated on things and such.
Sure. That's helpful.
Yeah. But because I'm like, God, who can watch that much wrestling anyway? But so I'm like, okay. And then the lead up to WrestleMania, I was like, okay, I know my kids are going to have me watching 18 hours of wrestling this weekend. I know we're going to do it. I need to know what's going on. So we've watched a little bit. We will not stay up till 10 o'clock on a Monday night to watch 3 hours of
three hours. You don't want to do 3 hours.
It's never going to happen. You know me, I am in bed by 8:30 at the latest. Like, we watch the first hour or so, and then I kind of catch up the next day on Twitter, like, see what happened. But we've kind of got back into it a little bit. My kids always knew what was going on, because they watch a lot of wrestling YouTubers that are more for kids who talk about it. BDE is, he does like a lot of gaming stuff. I met him in Vegas. He was the one that I went over and was like, take a picture with me in Vegas, because I was like, my kids are a fan of his.
They're going to love it.
Yeah,
I'm going to be a cool mom.
They thought they do not care anything about me, but the fact that I met him, they thought was the greatest thing ever. Like, they did not care about anything else. But they kind of kept up with things like that. So they knew what was going on. Like, last week, we went to bed, of course, before Raw ended. The next morning on the way to school, they're telling me how Raw ended the night before. And I'm like, okay,
you're like, cool. Why don't you get this update? You were brushing your teeth.
I'm like, it is 7:45 in the morning. How do you already know this? But yeah, like, they already knew. So I didn't feel as bad, because they could kind of keep up with it that way. But we've got back into it a little bit. And I am enjoying both companies. I can't watch any more companies than that. I know people are always like, but you've got this one and this one and that. No.
I'm also not tired.
Yes.
I'm a grown up. I'm tired.
And I'm also watching basketball and football and baseball, and I cannot do it all. I can't.
Yeah.
I don't even watch TV. That's all I'm watching is all this crap all the time. So
it's true. It gets overwhelming.
It's a lot. When I was told that the Dynamite last week or the week before was going to be 3 hours, I was told like 3 weeks before, and I was like, oh, that's a no. That will not be
one. I'm out. So yeah. You get two, and then good luck.
Yeah, you're going to be lucky if you get an hour and a half, to be honest. So, but yeah, I mean, I think that I still had so many friends in wrestling that I was kept up on what was going on. And I have curated my timeline so specifically on Twitter with so many people, words muted, that I don't see a lot of what the negative stuff is anymore. And I think taking the break for so long, those accounts have mostly left me alone since I've come back. Now, who knows how long it'll be before they start coming at me again. There are specific people that I've learned that I cannot interact with on Twitter, even though they are my friends, because then things get accused of me doing things and them doing things, and it's all just insane. And I just don't have time for it. And like, we are in our 30s. Who has time to be? It's high school stuff that I'm like, I have
it's like middle school. It's worse.
Care of.
It's worse. You don't use your name on the internet anymore. But when I first met you, you did.
I did.
What pushed you to fully change it?
So I have had Twitter since like 2009, I think. I've had it for forever. I was in high school. I didn't use it. And I started using Twitter again during my divorce, which was in 2018. So 6 years ago. And it was about this time, 6 years ago. And I got on there and I unfollowed everyone that I was following. Because it was people that I had followed when I was 16 years old.
Like, different person. We're different people. Yeah, we don't want that.
I unfollowed everyone I was following and I started following wrestlers and I followed just like some people in wrestling media and things like that. I never expected to have 15,000 followers like I have now. Like that was never, you know, I'm like, I'm just on here to see what's going on and to distract myself from the things that were going on in my life. And I started posting about wrestling and people started following me. I honestly, I don't know why, but people started following me and things like that. But it started happening so quickly that I got like all of a sudden I had 3,000 followers and I was like, okay, you know, and then people started being mean to me. Once I got to a threshold, basically people started being mean to me and I took my last name off. So my name on there was my first and last name, but my username was my first name and my maiden name from when I had made the account. And so I changed both because I was like, I don't want either of them on here. So I changed my username to just had my first name on there. Like yours is just your first name. That's how mine was just my first name. And then it kept getting worse. And I didn't have my last name on there anymore, but people were still like trying to find my information, which is so strange. And our friend Seahawk, Cameron Hawkins, one day was making fun of me about something. And he called me Cher Delaware. And I was like, that's the name I'm going to start using.
Like dibs.
Yeah. So he makes all the time. He's always like, I feel like I deserve royalties or something.
You're like from zero. Great. Here you go. Yeah.
So I just like jokingly changed it on there to Cher Delaware. And then I just changed all of my public social media to that. My Instagram, everything was changed to that, which I'm glad it was, because about a year after that, someone got mad at me over wrestling and they found my Facebook. They messaged my mom. They were posting where my kids go to school. And I was like, what? It was very crazy. And thankfully, like, my mom does not understand Facebook. Her Facebook is logged in through my phone so that I can fix it for her all the time.
Oh, okay.
So I'm like, I just blocked anybody that was trying to contact her on there because like the first person messaged her, but then there was like 10 more people trying to ask.
See, I didn't know you intercepted it. I thought she just
She did see the first message, but she was just like, okay. But then they were trying to add her and it was like a whole group of guys. Most of them were Canadian and it's like this like cult, I swear. And so I just got on there and just kept blocking people. And I think that they figured out that they weren't going to get through. So they left her alone. But also my mom, she calls it her website. Like she literally does not understand Facebook. So they were not getting anything accomplished with her.
Website is cute.
I'm always like, mom, she's like, can you make me a web page on my website? No, stop. Like my parents are in their 60s. They don't do so. My dad does not do social media at all. But so
that's wild. Yeah. Like, what is the purpose in doxing you? Right. Like, let's name it.
Yeah.
These random people tried to dox you because of an opinion.
Yeah. And
about
so
a made up thing.
So many people have followed me since then. I have 15,000 followers now that they think my name is actually Cher or Sherilyn. And so I think you've been with me before when people have been like,
every time
Cher.
I tackle, I'm like, who the hell is Cher? Oh, yeah. That's you.
And I'll forget that's her. Sometimes. And someone will be yelling it and someone will be like, hey, that's, I'm like, oh, hello. Like,
it is me. Yeah.
And sometimes I'll tell people, like, I always introduce myself as my name. And so I'll be like, oh, my name is, and they're like, your name's not actually Cher. I'm like, no.
You're like, you thought it was Cher Delaware? That's wild. You know.
And then I have people that'll be like, oh, so it's Delaware because you live in Delaware. I'm like, false. I've never been to Delaware. False. Like, no.
Not on the travel list.
Not, that is not correct. So a lot of people really think that my name is Sharon Al, which good. Is, it's very funny. Yeah, that's what I want. I don't want people to know what my name is. So I'm like, but then I'll have some people who will not remember it and they'll like slip up and say my name responding to me. And then I message them. I'm like, I don't want to be rude, but can you please delete that comment? Because I am trying to protect my kids. I no longer post anything of my kids publicly. Yeah. I don't share their names. If I post pictures, their faces are covered because of weirdos. And that's not just within the wrestling community. I mean, there are weirdos trying to find people's kids on the internet everywhere.
Yeah.
But people that were sharing pictures of my kids really made me be like, what are you trying to accomplish? Because, okay, you hate me. It's still weird, but that's fine. But my kids at the time were like 5 and 7, and you're posting their faces, and that's very strange. Yeah. So I was like, to protect them, they're just done. They're no longer, I share them on my Facebook. I personally know everyone that I'm friends with on my Facebook. So, but I do not share them on Instagram. I do not share them on Twitter. Like I said, I don't share their names anymore. I usually just say their age or the tall one and the little
one. Tall one. You know, the little one. They're like, what?
Which anybody that's met funny. My kids too, my oldest is almost as tall as I am, and he's 9. So
because you're not that tall. Let's tell people. I know you I'm think you're six sure. feet tall. I'm you think you're 6 feet tall. It's
I'm
wild.
I'm 5'7". My 9-year-old should not almost be my height.
They're different these days.
They are. They're built
kids are different.
Different.
Are the kids aware of how, like, kids are very intuitive and your kids are so connected to you, like, I know that. Are the kids aware of how you have had to navigate wrestling?
Not really, because I mostly protect them from stuff. They do think it's so funny when people come up to us at shows, though, and call me Cher. They think that is so funny. And my youngest is always like making fun of me about it because people say that to me. And I'm like, well, that's what they think my name is. And then I've kind of got it through to them because they watch YouTubers who don't use their names. So they're like, oh, okay. Kind of like, you know, BDE, which his are his initials, I think. But so they've kind of got that through, and they're older now too.
Yeah.
But they think that it's hilarious. And my oldest does not like people. So when people
like
come
you?
Up to us, he's very much like me. So when people come up to us at shows, he's like he gets so irritated with it. But we'll be sitting like before a SmackDown or whatever, and friends that work in the company will come out and say hi to him. And my youngest is like talking to him, and my oldest is like, how dare you? How dare you have Adam Pearce say hi to me right now? And I'm like, kid, there are kids up here that would like die for someone to come out here.
And he's and look like, at you.
He's like, this is terrible. This is the worst experience of my life. And then I'm always like, I tell them that they have to be very grateful because we are given the tickets to shows, because they got to go to 10 shows last year between AEW and WWE that we paid for none of them. And I'm like, most kids your age don't get to go to 10 shows in their life. And you guys
absolutely.
Are going.
We didn't get to go until we were old enough to buy our own shit.
So we were buying our own tickets. Yeah. Yeah. And I'm like, you have to be very grateful for this and understand that you're experiencing something that a lot of people don't get to experience. And we're almost always on the floor when we get the tickets. My youngest became best friends with Pat McAfee a few years ago because we were in the front row behind him, and Pat was teaching him to say things he should not have been saying. And then he
sounds
was
about
going,
right.
He was going, sorry, mom, every time he would do it. Like, and my youngest, of course, is just eating it up because that's who he is as a person. But I've taught them, like, you are very blessed to be in the position that you are in, but I don't want them to know the extent of what I have had to go through. And like, none of the people that I'm friends with within the companies have ever treated me badly. And they're just people. I'm just a person. I treat them like people, and that's why we get along.
Yeah.
But they will sometimes laugh about the way that people act online. like if I say something, people will be like jumping all over my case and they're like, what is their problem? I don't know. I don't understand. When WWE was doing the releases last year, for some reason, everybody thought Adam Pearce was fired and I was getting tagged like I'm his freaking keeper. And I was
Are you the boss?
I messaged him and was like, sir, can you please say something? Because people will not leave me alone asking if you've been fired. Like if he got fired, he's going to message me immediately and be like, hey, just so you know, I'm no longer employed. I probably wouldn't have known until everybody else knew, you know, like it was very strange. And they're like, why do people think that you know everything? I'm like, I don't know, but I wish that one of these companies would cut me a check with the way that people think that they cut me a check.
Like, it's true. There is one of us getting a check on this conversation and it's not me. It's not you.
It's not me.
Something that really brought me back into wrestling was hashtag speaking out.
Yes.
And I think it would be... I'm about to say remiss. Is that the word? I think that's what the girls use. If we didn't address that, like having that conversation as being a wrestling fan on Twitter, because we're not calling it that one letter, and like watching it play out as a woman was so shitty. And I feel like people act like it happened a few years ago, so it's over. But you and I both know as this last year or so, that it never stopped. People just stopped talking about it. And for me, because of the work that I do, I'm like, silence is where bullshit continues to breed and thrive. Mm-hmm. How was it for you seeing this these conversations and like how they went?
I had to take breaks from all of it because it was a lot. And I was trying to keep up with everyone's stories, the victim's stories, and then everyone, because you don't see everything on Twitter. And I know that people are always like, well, why haven't they made a comment on this yet? I don't even see everything on Twitter, and I'm on Twitter a lot. Like, I don't expect wrestlers to see everything on Twitter, you know? And so I was trying to keep up with the people and then people that made statements. And then there was like, thankfully, a running list of everyone that had been accused of everything, like what they had been accused of, because I wanted to make sure I was not supporting anyone who had been accused of something. And, you know, I know that there's people that are always like, well, it's just an accusation. You and I have been through this so many times. Like, I post that all the time about how many people, you know, are actually arrested when you go to the police about things and things like that. I'm always retweeting that post because an accusation does hold weight. And there are, it's mostly men that think that it doesn't. But I did not, you know, whether a person did do something or not, I would rather be on the safe side and not give them my money and not support them. And some of it was just sickening. Like, some of it was so painful to read. And like you said, the stuff that came out last year and earlier this year, I had to get myself in a headspace to read those filings too, because I was kind of told what they were going to be beforehand, you know, given a little bit of heads up. And it's just, it's so hard. And it's like this within anything, but it's so hard when something you love has such terrible people in it. Mm-hmm. And it's like, how do you grasp still supporting this thing and not supporting those people? And it's just a really hard balance to find. And I told somebody one time, I will always support wrestlers within companies who are wrestlers that I like, wrestlers I'm friends with, you know, like, I'm never going to be like, well, I'm never going to watch you wrestle again because you're working for this person, because this is their job. This is how they're getting their money. And if I didn't, if I, you know, banished every corporation or whatever, I would do nothing. I wouldn't,
you wouldn't exist.
I wouldn't be using my iPad right now. I would, you know, like I would have nothing. But I think that You have to kind of pick and choose through what you're doing there. But every company, every business has horrible people in it. And it was just so hard to see the sheer amount of horrible people within wrestling.
It was
painful. And to know, like, they got away with this for so long because it is such a boys' club. It is such the fandom, the actual wrestling, everything is such a boys' club. And I'm glad that it is changing to an extent. I mean, it's still has issues. Absolutely. But it's not as bad as it was before. And I wish that more men within wrestling would stand up for women. Mm-hmm. And not just, you know, oh, well, that's my friend who I wrestled three times. Like, they can still be a terrible person.
I always say that, like, you, this is something my mom always taught me, is you will never know anyone 100%. You are not with them every second of their day and their life. And people are different with other people.
Yeah.
Like, you can't be like, well, I've never seen it. Well, I'm sorry, you've never seen them rape someone. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that would be a conversation.
Yeah. They're probably not doing it in front of you.
Like, yeah. And then, you know, even during these things, like the way that others respond, right? Like, you and I are watchers. We'd be watching how people move. Mm-hmm. That is how we choose to navigate once we see what you do. And even seeing, like, who would defend and who would then go after these survivors. Again, as you and I both know, it's real fucking hard to come out, to share that information. And as someone that does this work, it's like 1% to 2% of people that lie. People lie, but it is 1% to 2% because, as we do know, you come forward and these people's lives were threatened, dragged, they lost opportunities, they lost jobs, like safety, and we'll talk a little bit more about safety. Like, all of that was jeopardized because they didn't want to keep having this happen. And then what happens? Like, it's continued. And then people think, well, they're not talking about it anymore, or they dropped it. I'm like, they're fucking tired.
Yeah.
Like, it's a fight.
Yeah. And it's mentally taxing to have to continue to defend yourself and be like, no, I'm not lying. Mm-hmm. Constantly. To strangers, nonetheless. You know, like, that is always, I mean, just when I have shared my own story, I've had strangers who, like, accuse me of lying. They don't even know the person that I'm talking about. No connection to him whatsoever, but they're going to defend him because they don't like me. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, is it worth it? Because sometimes it doesn't feel like it is. It doesn't feel like it's worth it to tell someone, you know, like, I support you, I've been through this. When it's just constant other people tearing you down for it. And when it's someone famous, I can't imagine. Because, like, we laughed about this last year. There's always drama going on within wrestling. There was a wrestler who did something. And there was a girl who posted, he could literally kill someone and I would still support him. Because I don't know his reasoning for killing someone. And I'm like, what? Are you serious right now? I'm like, you know, saying, like, he could quit his job and I would still support him. Like,
or when people are like, you could rape me. Excuse me? That I don't know. I've always been raped. You know what it is? Not fun. Fucks you
not
up.
In
still fuck.
Time. Like,
what hard pass?
Yeah. That, like, just some of the comments that people make, I'm like, and it's always people that you're like, you've never experienced any big trauma in your life to be able to say that, because it's not funny. It's not funny to your friend who went through it. It's just not something that is amusing. It's not a joke. And so it's almost better, like you said, we do, to just say nothing, because I would rather watch, you know, everything does not need my input. It does not need my commentary.
I wish other people knew that.
Yes. And I, like, it's okay to be quiet sometimes. It's we fine. Don't need I your opinion it. On it. You know, like, me and you will text back and forth and say how Absolutely. We feel about something. And I have other people that I will talk to. I don't need to make a post every time something happens. I don't care. I don't need to have people, you know, like, I wonder where she stands on this. It doesn't matter because it's not my, it's not my situation. And if they knew me, they would know where I stood on it. So that's all that really matters in it. It is, you don't have to pander to your followers on Twitter every time something happens and tell them, you know, like, oh, well, I read these filings and this is my take on it. Who cares? 800 other people just gave their take on it in the last 5 minutes.
And I didn't care about those.
No, and I'm not reading any of those either. So, like, who cares?
I'm like, oh, don't care. We you kind of got into this, but how has your mental health been as a fan, especially since the last five, what year is this, 24? The past like 5 years, how has your mental health been as a wrestling fan? Okay, there's that face. I'm going to clip that.
I would say up and down a lot. I mean, you know, not taking into account other things going on in my life, just like, it's hard to be a wrestling fan sometimes when things come out and when it, especially when it becomes mainstream news, because it's like, when you're a wrestling fan amongst people that are not wrestling fans, you are the token wrestling fan. You are the person that they are going to about.
Hey, I have a question. No, I don't want it.
I posted the other day, 6:30 in the morning, I got a message from somebody asking me about how Owen Hart died. It's 6:30 in the morning.
Also, Google's free.
Wikipedia exists. Like, what? Like, why? I don't, why? I linked him to the Dark Side of the Ring episode. Like,
yeah, that's perfect.
I mean, they're like, well, I know you know about wrestling. And I'm like, what? It's 6:30 in the morning.
You want to wake up and talk about death. That's wild.
Right. Like,
good morning.
Hi, nice to see you. So it's like they come to you. And my dad does that to me too. Anytime anything happens in wrestling, he's like, oh, I saw on the news today. And I'm like, yeah, like I don't. And he will watch wrestling now, which is so funny because he wouldn't when I was a kid, but he will with my kids. So like while you and I were in LA last year, my dad was watching with my kids. And then when I got home, he's like, yeah, that one guy went out there when Cody was out there. And I'm like, okay, dad, like, but he wants to talk to me about it. And I'm like, I don't want to talk about this. Like, I am not online, and that's all anybody's talking about online, and I don't want to talk about it with people that I know outside of it either. And that's, I always laugh, like, you work in wrestling adjacent more, because you're not, like, in the wrestling part of wrestling, you know, you're in the mental health part of wrestling.
I gotta stay attached.
Yeah, like, we do not talk about wrestling very much.
No, we don't.
Any of my friends any of my friends that work in wrestling, any of my friends that are wrestlers, we barely ever talk about wrestling. Any of my friends that report on wrestling, barely ever talk about wrestling. The only time wrestling is talked about is like if something big happens, it's like, oh, this happened. Oh, yeah. That's pretty much it. But it's the other people who want to talk about it constantly. And I'm like, I don't want to hear about this anymore. I just need a break from it. I don't want to talk about it. Mm-hmm. So sometimes it's like, even if you disconnect from online, it's still happening. And it's like, yes, I know that it happened. If you know that it happened, would you not think that I know that it happened? Like, yes, I know. I know. Yeah. So it's just.
Wrestling is a weird place. And what I am very thankful for Twitter because I found wrestling community. Like, I feel like I have been a wrestling fan, but I never had community until I found Twitter. And I was like, is this where everybody's been? What the hell? What did anyone tell me? What is community like for you? And also, how important is it for you in this space?
I would say it's really important for me because I don't have a lot of friends where I live. We always joke about where I live.
Well, it's because she lives in the backwoods of nothing. If you send her a gift, she'll be like, maybe I'll get it in like 3 years. It's wild.
When I had surgery and everybody was trying to send me flowers and they were going to have to send to me via FedEx because we don't
It's wild, y'all.
Yes, we don't have things here. Like, all the time people will be like, just get Uber Eats. We don't have Uber Eats. We don't have Uber.
Tried.
We don't have anything. We don't have these things. Like, we have McDonald's, Dairy Queen, and Subway. That's what we got. Like,
wow, options.
So I don't have a lot of friends where I live. I mean, I did not live here. As you know, I lived in California for a little while. And I loved living in California, but girl,
expensive.
You can afford to live in California. Like,
as someone that lives in California, I know.
Yeah, like, I mean, that was 10 years ago. I think about that all the time. In June, it'll be 10 years since I moved from California. Mm-hmm. So I loved living out there. Like, when I was out there last year, it was like, with the smog and all, I can breathe.
Well,
like,
you gotta just, you know, get closer to the ground.
Yeah. Good thing I'm not tall. Like, I need the people in my life that I've met through wrestling. Like I said, even though we don't talk about wrestling, like, we became friends because of wrestling. That's not what we talk about, because we became better friends because of all the other reasons that we connected. And most of the wrestling trips that I go on have nothing to do with going to see wrestling. They're because I get to go see my friends. Sure. And that's been the hardest part for the past 6 months for me, is not getting 7 months now, goodness, not getting to see my friends, not being in Philly this week. Do I care about going to Philly? No, I never need to step foot in Philly in my life, but I know that all my friends are going to be there. I was upset that I didn't get to go to North Carolina last month because I knew all my friends were going to be there, that I didn't get to go to Tampa or wherever that was in January because everybody was going to be there. And so, like, I took my kids to a show January, February, something like that, and Will came out and sat with us through like half the show at that one, and I hadn't got to see him in, I think, since September. So it was so nice to be able to just sit and talk to him, and I'll get to see him in a couple weeks. Oh god, it is April. Yeah.
So yeah, I'll be there.
Yeah. Maybe.
No, I'll be there. I'm booking my flight. I'll be there.
So, like, I'll get to see him in a couple weeks and get to see you in a couple weeks. And then I think next month I'm going to be in Vegas. So get to see everybody then. And it's more about getting to see my friends. Cause, like, you have to work during the show, you know, like,
yeah, I do be working.
You don't get to enjoy things anymore.
Do not. I don't. You know, I appreciate, thank you for acknowledging working and wrestling. You're like, I didn't see, they'd be like, did you see it? I'd be like, no, I saw none of the show. No. You were there all 8 hours. Yeah. I was there.
Yeah. Like, the Edge Copeland debut. When you came out, you recorded it, you sent it to me, you were sending me people's reactions and stuff. Like, you get to see small things if you go out for it. But you're in the back. You're working. You got an office, you know, like, you're stretching. You're sending me pictures of you stretching in the back.
Thank you so much for noting I take care of myself in the back.
Yeah, like, you're doing your thing back there. It's a job for you. You're back there working. But, like, the days around that, we get to hang out. And that's, like, the best part of those trips for me. I don't care about the wrestling as much as getting to see my friends. And it has, I don't know, especially through the pandemic. Oh, God, the pandemic was so hard. Not getting to see anybody. But I don't know how I would have made it sometimes through the pandemic without just being able to check in with my friends and everything. Even though we're all over the world, honestly. Yeah. Like, everybody always makes fun of me because I don't have a passport. And I'm like, but you have a passport, so you can come to me.
How dare you? Okay, one of us does. Look at that.
I'm like, but there's a lot more shows here than there. So
also true.
You come to me. Like, last year in LA, that's, you know, at my hotel, you came to my hotel and hung out for a little while and everything. Like, Alex McCarthy, he lives somewhere in the UK. I don't know. Yeah. Somewhere over there. And he's like, when are you going to get a passport? And I'm like, you're here.
Get a passport. Like,
I have a passport holder.
But I'm going to fight you. I am going to fight you. You're like, I have part of it, not the part I actually can utilize anything for.
Yeah. Like, my dear friend Frankie is like, can I get you a passport? Like, can I just crop one of your pictures and, like, apply for a passport? He's always mad at me about it. And I'm like, It just, it seems like a lot of work to go have my picture taken. Like, I just don't want to do it, but I will eventually. I mean, I'm going to be 31. I need to get it done at some point.
I didn't get my passport until I was 30, and I will be 37 this year, which is wild because look at me.
You look amazing. It is almost our birthdays. We are almost there.
We take cash, Venmo, PayPal. We take everything.
But yeah, like just getting to see people, like I said, from all over the world. Like, I have become such good friends with people. People, like, I talk to you almost every day. And we have group chats with other people where we check in on things. And then, like, Jeremy, I met through Fightful and went to his wedding 2 years ago, you know, like.
That was 2 years ago? That's wild. Yeah. What a time.
And drove to Ohio. I had never been to Ohio in my life.
Just for what?
7 hours with my kids to Ohio for his wedding. And then drove back straight through the night. Like, but we had a blast. And I think that was one of the moments that was the coolest for me, seeing everybody that came to his wedding, because Jeremy had just moved to Ohio. You know, he was from North Carolina. He just moved there for, I call her Mrs. Jeremy because he doesn't share her information, you know, like he just moved there for Mrs. Jeremy. He didn't have friends there really. And everyone that was at that wedding for him that wasn't his family was people he'd met through wrestling. And we had like 2.5 tables full of us. And we took a picture at the end. And I mean, there was people from everywhere. Like, we'd driven in, flown in. Denise flew in. Like,
I couldn't make a flight work.
I know.
I remember we were trying to make it work. And I was like, I can't.
Denise and her, I don't think.
Maybe they weren't married then.
I'm trying to think if her and her husband were married yet.
I don't think so.
Yeah, but he came in with her. And, like, she stayed at an Airbnb with me and my kids, and Joel and his wife came in from Canada, you know, like just people from everywhere coming in. And it meant so much to him. And I think that that was really when I was like, this is so cool that, you know, all these people came here for him, and he did not expect a lot of the people to come. So when SP3 showed up from New York, and when Steven Jensen came in from Georgia and everything, like, he was just kind of amazed that so many people cared enough about him that he just met through wrestling to come. And I was like, we love you. Like, that's why we're here. We are happy for you and we want to support you. And I think that that's such a cool thing that we all may have not ever met if it wouldn't have been for wrestling, you know, like
wrestling and Twitter.
Yeah.
Elon, but
yeah, like
Twitter,
the closest I live to anybody throughout, like, is 3.5 hours away, and it's people that I go visit, you know. So it's just really cool to see that many people be able to come in for someone, and like I said, we wouldn't have known each other otherwise. So it's like, man, this is awesome.
I love that. As someone that we'll end with a fun comment, but I think there's also something to even talk to is like safety. And we've talked about mental health and all the things. And I always look at safety as two ways, internally and externally. If there's any tips and tricks you can give to femme, women, ladies, we are not the gatekeepers of what that identity looks like, but like any safety tips to want to attend these shows? Cause I know I've been to shows and I'm like, they got one more word and I'm about to get kicked out. Cause we're about to fight. I'm about to jump. Over, like, I have been in places and I'm like, oh no, I start like taking my shit off. It's like I black out, because I think you and I are very similar in the ways of like the ways that we go to protect others, and we're like, well, fuck it, kind of thing.
Yes. If I see someone that I can tell they're going in on themselves and they don't want to stand up for themselves, I used to be that person. And like my mom always says that I have become very hardened since my divorce, and I'm like, I'm just not naive anymore. And I was a kid, I was 20 when I got married. Like, that should be illegal. You shouldn't even be able to get married at 20. And I'm like, I couldn't even drink, like, which I don't drink, but if I wanted to, I couldn't drink at my own wedding reception. Like,
That's like, so true. You're like,
yeah, like
water.
Sorry. You know, so I'm like, I used to be that person. I was the person who would let people say things about me and let people laugh about it because I wasn't going to stand up for myself. So if I'm at shows and I see that happen, 100% I'm always saying something. Like, I will yell at people, and then people are like, because I don't dress like a wrestling fan. So
you don't. If y'all don't know, I've been out and I'm like, should I go back to my room? Where are we going? I'm like in leggings. This bitch is fully dressed. I'm like, well, I guess
I was in a dress and heels when we went in LA.
I'm like, I got some Nikes on.
You know, it's okay. The only time I go anywhere is when I go to wrestling shows.
You know what? But also, I always say, like, if this makes you feel comfortable and happy, who the fuck cares?
Yes, exactly. Do whatever you want. But I'm always going to stand up for people. So I've been to shows with my kids before, where people were yelling racist remarks, like people in the crowd yelling racist remarks at wrestlers and stuff. And my kids are always like, oh God, because they know I'm going to say something. They always, they're like, and I do. And I'll say, and usually the person will sit down because everybody else around them, you can tell, also feels uncomfortable, but they're not going to say anything. And I will say something every time because I don't care. And I'm like, I don't ever want people to feel singled out in wrestling the way that I have felt. So I'm always going to stand up for people in that. Safety going to shows.
Yeah.
I stopped going to wrestling shows alone because I didn't feel safe. I used to go to all of them by myself unless my kids were coming with me. And even sometimes with my kids, I don't feel safe. Sure. Because people are,
you've had many instances. We've talked about them.
So many, like, instances.
Why are you trying to talk to
I'm
my
always
kids?
Like, do I have like a neon sign on my head that's like, come mess with me? Like, we were at a show, the second house show back after COVID. We were in Kentucky. We had second row seats. We had 4 tickets, but there was only us 3. On the floor, you're not supposed to be able to go on the floor unless you show him your ticket. This guy tells, he's drunk off his ass, and he tells the security woman, like, that's my wife. She has my ticket. Does she ask me? No. She just lets him sit there. He's trying to take pictures with me and my kids in the background. Like, I have my youngest on my lap. So this would have been, was it 2021?
Yeah.
Yeah. So my youngest was 4. At the time, and I have him on my lap, and he's like touches his leg, trying to get him to smile at him. And I'm like, no, this is not happening. And it was just like, we missed a whole match that was going on because I was trying to deal with this situation. And the people behind us were like, he's not with you, is he? And I'm like, no, I don't know where this man came from. So I had to text 2 people that were working the show in the back, and they got the WWE security to come get this man and make him leave because the arena security just let him sit down.
That's a shitty part too. And I've had this conversation, Amanda and I have had these conversations with other women too, is like, go to the security that works for the company. Arena security are just hired. Yeah. Half of them don't know what the fuck is going on.
They don't
on.
Know what they're doing. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. So we had that recently. We had last year, it was the show after the Bray Memorial. So we went to that SmackDown, and then we went to a house show the next night, and we had the guy who was there working with mentally disabled adults who kept asking me for my phone number.
Yeah, and, like, I remember this.
Yeah, would not leave me alone and kept and being like, call me, and like was absolutely 20 years older than me, at least. Kept going on and on. And then my youngest was like, what did he say to you? And I was like, he asked me on a date. He cackled. Because my kids know I don't date. And he's like, he thinks you're going to go on a date with him? Like, he thinks it's so funny. And I'm
your
like,
kids bully
yeah,
you.
I know.
That's your biggest bully.
He really is. He bullies me more than anyone. But at that show, nobody that I knew within the company was there. And so I just had to deal with it. And we were in comp seats. Their facility had gotten comp seats. So we were just next to each other, and we ended up leaving early because I was like, I cannot deal with this. I can't deal with this man bothering me the entire time. He's ruining the experience for my kids because I'm so on edge because of it. And there's a different level of protectiveness when my kids are with me too, even if the person is bothering me. I've never had anyone like mess with my kids, because then it would be a whole different, whole different level. But going to shows alone, it's not as fun, but you're looking over your shoulder a lot more. You know, like when you and I went together, we had fun. We, you know, watched whatever, but like we knew that we had each other's backs and everything too. When you're by yourself, you know, you're the whole time like, oh, this person over here and this person over here. And I just realized like, this is not as enjoyable for me going by myself. Yeah. So even if I'm going by myself, but meeting other people there, I find that better. And I'm always, if I have my car, volunteering to drive people. Cause I'm like, then I don't have
to. You do be driving your car.
Yeah. Too. I'm like, I don't have to go to my car by myself. I don't have to, you know, be in a parking lot by myself, because even if it wasn't, there are creeps everywhere. Like, it's not like it's just in wrestling. It's, there are creepy people everywhere. And I just think meeting other people within wrestling, like the heels community in AEW I saw that they're going to have a heels seating section at shows now where they can all sit together and everything. And I think that that's amazing.
Yeah.
Because you're building a community within the community, and, you know, find other people that you get along with and start, you know, buy tickets near each other at shows and things like that, because it makes it a lot more enjoyable to have the experience with someone else. But you feel safer in that too, because there are always going to be weird people. Well, I forgot about this one at Mania when I went down to the floor to say hi to our friend Emilio.
Yep.
And
oh, yes. I was like, she gone a long time. I do remember this.
Yeah. The guy cornered me on the floor and was like, I saw you at your hotel earlier, and was like grabbing my arm and stuff. And I'm like, dude, like, please let me go. And he was like forcing, like, let me have your Instagram. I'll follow you on Instagram. And I'm like, no, I'm good. And finally, one of the security guards, because you're not supposed to stand on the floor, like outside of the sections, came over and was like, you need to go to your seats. And I was like, I'm going back upstairs. Like, I'm good. I'm not going to be down here. But that was the only reason that he finally left me alone. And it's just like the aggressiveness can be very, and I wasn't alone then, but I was alone at that moment. And I had just left you to go down there to say hi to him. And
it's like some moments.
Yeah. And he was like, well, if I would have known. And I'm like, you were watching the show, you know, like, I mean, there wasn't anything, unless somebody was with me, that anybody could do. And think about that. How many people are around in that arena, and someone has the audacity to do that in front of people. And it's just like, and nobody says anything. All these people standing there, nobody says anything. And like, he's got a hold of my arm. You can tell I'm uncomfortable. And I'm just like, man, people just do not look out for other people.
Yeah. It's like everything is a community. We have different aspects of it, but it's also like, see something, say something. As cheesy as it sounds, like how you could really be helping someone in a moment. If someone was like, what are you doing? You good? Like, I will pretend I know somebody quick. Hey, girl, come on.
Mm-hmm. Like,
it doesn't matter. Like, it is so scary just navigating every day outside. And then you go into like this more concentrated area where we already have these preconceived notions that have continued to be accurate of, I'm not welcomed here. You don't want me in this space. The danger of it all, and like navigating it. People ask me like, well, what does safety look like for you at wrestling shows? And I'm like, staying ready. Like, and it does take away from the enjoyment of the actual show, which is like, a lot of people pay a lot of money to go to these shows. Wrestling's not cheap. Oh, that's so annoying. What have been the good parts of wrestling for you? Because there's been a lot of shit. What are the good parts, though?
I'm muted because there's a train. I would say, like, the things that I've got to be there to witness wrestling-wise, and then experiencing them with my friends and meeting the people. Mm-hmm. Like, as I said before, Bryan Danielson, I went to a random SmackDown in St. Louis. I don't even know what year that was. 2019, I guess. I was sitting by Randy Orton's wife and all 87 of his children.
Don't do that.
And there's a lot of them.
It's a few.
And that was the show where Brian turned heel and won the world title from AJ. And when he became like changed it to like the eco title and everything after that. And just randomly getting to be there for that as a huge fan of his was always something that I go back to and always talk about. I got to go to, I went to the Royal Rumble in St. Louis, but that was my first Royal Rumble. Royal Rumble is my favorite.
Same.
Pay-per-view.
You know, we love a Rumble.
Yes. Oh. So I was so excited when we got to have it in St. Louis, and then it was terrible. But that was when the sign caught on fire right above me. I was sitting
I remember. You were like, there's a fire. I was like, what do you mean? There's a fire above my head.
Yes. I was sitting with Issa and it was just like right above us. So that was, yeah, that was the one when Seth came down, did the Shield entrance, and he came right next to us. So like you can see us during that entrance. That was really cool to experience. The rest of the show was terrible. But I went to the Rumble last year, I guess, which was in San Antonio. And I got to go with my friend Frankie, who works for WWE, who we never got to go to a show together before. And he lives in Connecticut, of course. We actually I knew who he was through a shirt company that we both followed on Facebook, which was just because he was always doing giveaways where he would give away like WWE stuff. They would do like, guess who's going to win this and then do a drawing or whatever through the company. And he had started following me on Twitter. Had no idea who he was. And I'm like, why is this guy always commenting on stuff? And then I put two and two together with the name and followed him back. And now he is one of my best friends. We talk all the time. He and his wife just had a baby. And so I'm like buying stuff for their baby all the time and everything. But we got to go to that show together. And it was so much fun to get to experience that with him as a fan, because he has worked as a producer for the company.
It's real different.
Yes, he's worked as a producer for like 14 years for the company. So he, you know, when he's working, it's a different experience than going as a fan. And we had so much fun at that show. And it's just really fun to get to experience different shows with different people too, because I've sat with so many different people now. Like I said, you and I sat together last year, and I've sat, gosh, just so, I can't even think of all the people that I've sat with, just, you know, different shows, like, hey, we're both going to be here. Let's, you know, sit near each other or whatever. And like T and his girlfriend in Vegas last year at that show, I think we're going to sit together again this year. And like me just dancing to everybody's themes the whole time. Like that was my whole show, was me dancing to all the themes and everything. And I think that's like the memories of getting to experience those things with my friends is always something that I'm like, yeah, you remember when we were at that one together and we got to see that really cool match and whatever. Like it's just fun.
Yeah. People think that my favorite things, people are like, you like wrestling? Like professional wrestling, like WWF? And every time they ask the question, they just lean in harder. Like you can lean back.
They're shocked. Yeah.
Go back. It's the answer's going to be the same. Yeah. I'm like, you watch cartoons.
Yeah, like it's okay.
You like SpongeBob at 42. Why are you in my business?
Okay. Yeah, like I'm not a Marvel girl, but there's people that like obsess over that stuff. And I'm
we'll
like,
fight you.
Yeah,
I'll fight
like,
you.
All you talk about is like ranking your favorite Marvel movie. It's okay. Like,
yeah,
I think that's part of why I could never date, because if somebody was like, I can't deal with somebody that watches wrestling, I'd be like, bye, see ya.
I think that this conversation was so needed, and to have it with you, I think it really shows more of like who you are, just like a person. People always see you as like this person on the internet, but also like you're a whole human, and people forget that the internet's not real. Fun fact, Twitter is a show. It is a game. You don't have to fight for the death for these wrestlers when you don't know who they are. You don't know their real names most of the time. Like, you don't know these people at all.
They do not know
you. Stop it. They don't know you, baby.
And
why are you trying to fight people?
And they don't want to.
And stop standing outside people's hotels. That's creepy.
That and inside. Don't stand inside the hotel or outside the hotel.
Stay out. How do you find the hotel? I don't even want to know how you find it. Stop finding it. Stop looking. I appreciate having this conversation with you. Is there anything else you would like to tell women wrestling fans?
Just like I said before, just find your community within wrestling, you know, like follow female. We all kind of stick together. Follow female content creators. Like they share other female content creators.
I remember how I found you. It was that TikTok video where all of y'all were changing the outfits of your favorite wrestlers.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's what it was. The
that was challenge. So good. And that's why I was like, look at all these hot women. What the hell? Beautiful women that love wrestling. That's and I followed everyone. That's what it was.
That's what it was. I can't even remember. I remember it got taken down off Twitter because of the song. Like the it got like a DMCA strike, but
it's on TikTok somewhere still.
Is yeah,
it just
Alex.
In silence?
Yeah, Queen of the Ring. Queen of the Ring Alex was the one who put it all together, and it was so much fun. And I was so excited to be a part of it. Like, yeah, that was I remember that now. I forgot that we even did that. That was like the beginning of COVID, wasn't it? Like
Yeah,
because the female wrestlers kept doing like the same one over and over and over, and we're like, we got it. We got it.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, there it is. I love how it just popped up at the end.
Yeah.
There, sparkle at the end. I like to end the show with a question that is for my pure entertainment and for the folks now. What is the wildest thing, because I know you get wild shit, that someone has texted or DM'd you in the last 2 weeks? And wild is relative.
I get a lot of wild stuff.
It's true. I know.
Not as many in the texting because I don't give out my number. I've had people find my number on the internet, which is very strange. I've had the same number since I was 14 years old. So like, please don't make me change my phone number. But
same.
Same. I'm like, I don't want to do that. But I get a lot of crazy, even with my DMs, like mostly closed, I get a lot of crazy DMs. So I had someone, this happened today. Okay.
Timing.
I posted, my birthday is May 1st. So I posted April 1st, like just a reminder, my birthday is a month from today. And this person sent me a message and they said, how old will you be on your birthday? And what's your favorite number? And I said, I'm going to be 31. And my favorite number is 22. I don't know why that's my favorite number. I mean, I do. There was a baseball player who I was obsessed with who that was, but like that was 20 years ago, but that was like my basketball number. Everything that I did had to be 22. Like
mine's 58 because of MTV back in the day. It just like stuck.
My sister's was 15 because of a baseball player whose number, like that was her number through everything. High school basketball, like, yeah. So he's like, okay.
It's about to be weird. I feel it.
He says, well, I shot myself in the foot. The idea was 31 times 22, $682. I'm going to send you that half this Friday and the other half next Friday. Happy birthday. So apparently, I'm getting $341 on Friday.
Okay, well, 2 days, I'm checking in. I'm going to send you a text. Did the money come through?
So what's funnier is, I don't know what this man's name is. I don't know who this man is. Perfect. And he thinks my name is Chelsea. He calls me Chels.
Who the hell is Chels? So you're not getting this money, Chelsea.
He's always like, which, I mean, my Cash App is at Cher Delaware. But he's always like, hey, Chels. And I'm like, where did you get Chels from? Like, that's so strange to me. Don't know who this man is. He used to message me very inappropriate things.
Oh, he said to switch it up.
Very inappropriate things. And I had blocked him on another account. And then he followed me on this account. And so now I guess he's just sending me money. So we're going to see.
I can't wait.
I know. I mean,
to be continued.
If he sends me $341 Friday, that's going straight to T for the Airbnb in Vegas. So
you're like, look at this gift we have.
Look at this. Thank you for the Vegas trip.
This was good. I truly hope that people listen to this and understand how hard it is to just sometimes enjoy things because people are shitty. Like, you're allowed to have your own opinion and not want to dox people. And also, believe people. Like, believe women when they say they feel unsafe at shows. Believe people when they say they are harmed. The questions, the who, what, when, where's, why's, they're fucking shitty and no one wants them.
Yeah.
Mm. Where can him, hey, they, zim, zay, zee find you if they want to find you? I don't know what you're going to tell. You might tell them nowhere, but...
I usually always say, don't find me, which is, you know, like from the New Day podcast when Vicky would be like, I don't need your follows. I don't want your follows.
I love E. He's such a time.
He is the best. He's hilarious. But you can follow me on Twitter because we don't call it that letter.
We're not using that.
No, I'm never, like, when people are like, I reposted. No, you retweeted. That's what you did.
I don't know,
like,
that. I don't know what that means.
Yeah. And then on Instagram, it is share.delaware. But those are really the only ones that I use. I've got, like, all the threads and blue sky. I don't use any of those. I forget that they're there.
Same. I have them, but I don't.
I forget. And then I'll be like, it'll show me I got, like, 15 new follows. And I'm like, cool.
I'm like, why?
Yeah.
I'm always like, why are you following? That's why. Like, okay. Well,
I'm good. But yeah, you can follow me and see my. I don't post about wrestling as often as I used to. I mean, I'm still posting about it some, but I just can't get that deep into all of it again because it's just too much. But you can see me have meltdowns about other sports all the time with my I hate baseball, I hate hockey. That's constant.
Well, this was fun, y'all. You know where to find the next episodes. And until next time.